This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Dad's Booth Man Pride.
Booth Man Pride.
And guys, this is a very special episode. We got some incredible news right before the show. Justin told us that if he ever dies, he wants us to podcast his funeral.
Yes,
that's right.
I'd like you to roll it
into
an episode.
We have the rights to podcast his funeral.
Podcast rights are really expensive for my funeral.
I had $1,000 in cash in my pocket.
You really put it down for
it. I just handed you. Pete had some old cookie crumbs, handed those over to
him. And then he ate them. He didn't put them in, but that's fine.
I just want to thank you. I know it was a competitive situation, and I just really appreciate you.
No, totally. Well, I want to make sure we get in all the segments. I'd like to be in the stack, but not the whole stack. You know what I'm talking about? Like, cover some other topics.
Right.
Obviously, audience questions is going to be a little more focused.
So you want a Weekend at Bernie's type situation.
Yeah, I want you to make it seem like I'm still alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's good. And
that's the dance from Weekend at Bernie's, too.
No, everyone gets it. You're amazing. The way your body moves is like a dead man. It's unbelievable. You're such
Thank
a mimic.
You.
You're such a mimic.
Thank you so much.
I could feel the flesh hanging loosely off your body. It's beautiful. It's great to just watch you.
I went
you
to
work.
Walking Dead Camp this summer.
Yeah. Cool. That's fun. You have been there.
Yeah. I actually have been there. Yeah. When do you think you're dying?
It could be any day now. Our guest was nice enough to tell me, like, man, you look like you have two kids. I was like, that's fucked up. I mean, it's true, but you never want to look. You want to look like one kid less than you have.
Yeah. Well, you know who looks like he has -2 kids? Our guest this evening, he's one of our favorite guys to have on the show. He is a host for Marvel.com's Earth's Mightiest Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Langston Belton!
Langston Belton!
Welcome back to the show, sir!
Welcome back, you youthful fucker.
Great to have you here.
It wasn't a negative thing.
That's why it was more fucked up. It was just an observation.
You look like at the end of most movies and we're like, we got to have somebody that can raise 2 kids. And they go to a cabin and they knock on the door and you open it. And it's like, yes.
What movie is that?
I don't know. It's a movie I made up in my head backstage. You said that. You were saying that. I had to have some courage to not sound like I just was like, hey, man, you look like you've been tired recently. You look like a man who's like, you know, creating two lives. And that's stressful. But you're still here. So we appreciate it. Yeah, and I appreciate it because if I had 2 kids, you'd never see me again.
That's a great point.
You look like the dad from Cabin Dad.
Yeah, Cabin Dad. Great, cool. Well, I'll tell you what, Langston, why don't you go ahead and deliver my eulogy? Because you really know how to throw a compliment round.
Justin looked pretty bad. Is that how you want to?
Yeah, but I'm sure in the future when I die, I'm going to look great.
I'm saying he looks world weathered and ready to like sail a boat somewhere.
You know what? Let's move on. The more Langston talks, the less I like what he says.
No, I'm sorry.
Langston, we are always very excited to have you here. You're always very busy, always working on Marvel stuff and other things. What's going on with you lately?
I've still been hosting Earth's Mightiest Show, of course. That's always fun. Myself and Lorraine Sink and myself. And it's always funny because Marvel's The Punisher Season 2 just is debuted on Netflix.
That's it.
It's very, very good.
I hadn't heard that. Sounds like a fun show. Is that like the first season?
No.
Or is it more of like a cooking show?
It's more of a cooking show. He goes around, collects criminals, and says, what in your hideout? Look around, grab something. Anything from somebody's hideout sparks joy. You get punished.
Yeah. What sparks?
I'm tidying up.
You get punished with Donnie. It's my favorite thing on the show.
What here sparks dynamite for you?
Where sparks the memory?
So did you hit up the red carpet? Were you doing a bunch of interviews?
No, I just watched it. like a flat cool. skin.
Wow, is that like an exclusive
A lot of my friends go like, oh, you work for Marvel, you work for the show. Do you get all these exclusive, hints and tips and tricks? I know one thing before everyone else does, and it's usually the day of. Mm-hmm. I'll get to read an issue of a comic book before it comes out, which is nice.
So you're the kind of guy that'll be like, hey, Langston, Avengers Endgame is now in theaters.
Do you want to go? I go, yeah, that'll be 1995. No. Hopefully I'll, because I got to do the carpet for Infinity War, which is really, really cool, which is awesome because I got to be in, there were a number of correspondents in the main carpet, which is this huge carpet in LA. It's just massive, and everyone that's ever been in movies is there. And I was in the Marvel Studios 10th anniversary exhibit. So I had to essentially, at the beginning of the day, walk down this maybe football field long exhibit and go through each and everything and go like, this came from this, this came from this movie. That's Tony Stark's race car from when he raced in Montenegro, Marvel Studios Iron Man 2, where he fought Ivan Vanko, also known as the villainous Whiplash, imprisoned wrongfully due to maybe some nefarious things with his Tony Stark's father, Howard Stark. Also in that car is Pepper Potts, who has the suitcase armor in tow, along with Happy Hogan, played by Jon Favreau.
It's weird because now you look tired.
And that's what it was. Exactly.
I got to tell you, that's going to be hard to do for Avengers Endgame. Are you just going to walk along and point to piles of dust and be like, well, that used to be Spider-Man?
I could.
That's a fun
show. Here's a fun fact. I like more the implicative. I like more the idea of, which is so dark, what happens when they realize they're not there. Like when someone goes like, where's T'Challa? Well, so, you know how we let all those foreigners in here and they fought their war on our doorstep? The king's dead because of that. And then, like, I want to see the aftermath of, like, what do you mean the king's dead?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it's interesting. Some of them turn to dust, some of them turn to, like, more dust than others. But if these characters are going to come back, which there's a lot of speculation that we haven't seen the last of the Black Panther, for instance. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You think there's going to be more?
There may be.
He died. I saw him die.
There's a movie already being solicited featuring Spider-Man.
Yes.
A prequel, I'm sure.
Definitely. if they do come back, what was the dust?
Themselves. It was just their bodies.
Yeah.
They turned to clay.
Well, so the rumor, you don't have to confirm any of these rumors, but the rumor is the next movie takes place 5 years after Avengers Infinity War. Ooh. That's about the amount of time it takes to glue back together a pile of dust.
Nice. Yes, I know you've done that as a hobby.
Tons
of times.
Who's doing the gluing?
Who's doing the gluing?
Hashtag who's
the
doing
number
the
number one question over Marvel
who's
comics.
Who's putting together?
Big
everybody.
Spoiler. Who's doing the gluing?
Who's got nothing to do? Yeah. And it's like, hey, you coward.
Pace Pot Pete started to come in handy.
Ooh.
But yeah, no, it's fun. We have a good time. I was very excited to see Punisher Season 2. I enjoyed season one, and I was actually very excited because I'm not a big Punisher fan, but Pete is a relentless Punisher fan.
Yep.
And relentless. I was like, I don't know, man. What's going on?
So we do a Patreon exclusive podcast every week. Yeah, we roll out to our Patreon subscribers. And I always hesitate to talk about stuff that we talk about on that podcast here on the live show because, frankly, on the live show, you guys ain't paying for it. So, you know, we want to give something. All right, I'm just saying.
What a capitalist.
We want to do something exclusive here. But Pete and I talked about Punisher Season 2 for the Patreon exclusive podcast this week.
Yep.
And what I found out about Pete was so fucking crazy.
You don't think it can get weirder. But
I'm so excited. So let me just come clear. I wasn't invited to this, obviously.
Well, you were late.
Yeah, you were late.
That's a great point.
Justin was late, and this is so good that I wanted Justin to also hear this as well as all of you, because I can't get enough of this story. So if you don't mind, if you don't mind, Langston, I'm going to walk Pete through his weekend.
Done.
This would be fun.
Please do.
We should do this every week.
I like that. New segment.
What a documentary.
New segment. I want it. Walk Pete through his weekend.
Here's the thing. We've done this before. One of the times he almost died eating cookies.
I remember that.
I don't want to spoil it. This is worse.
No.
I had to call out sick when I almost died eating cookies.
Yeah. So this is worse.
So this is a long weekend, in case you don't remember. For some of us, I guess, because of MLK Day, so 3-day weekend, Pete, very excited about that going in. Punisher dropped Friday at 3 a.m., yeah, right?
Great.
Oh, 3 a.m.
Which is when many people sleep.
Yeah, many people sleep. Did you wake up and watch Punisher?
No, but I couldn't sleep the night before. Like, I couldn't.
Like a child.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's, you know, like back when it was Christmas and I couldn't sleep because I was so excited.
Yeah.
I had a hard time sleeping. So right. I went to work, which I
well,
didn't
so
want to do.
Well, so here's the thing. You woke up what times? Like 6:30-ish?
6:50.
6:50. That's a good window.
6:50, but you didn't sneak in a Punisher episode then.
No, I couldn't.
And nice. What time did you get home?
7:30.
So they were like well over, what is that, 16, 17 hours, something
it's
like
been
that?
Out, yeah.
Until you were able to watch The Punisher.
And you call yourself a fan.
Yeah. Wow. Bad disgusting. Fan already. So it's 7:30.
I would like to point out that normally I would try to do something on my lunch break, but I'm at work and I wasn't aware of what my state would be like, so I didn't want to put my workers in a situation where they were feared for their life. This so seems, I didn't watch it.
That statement seemed pre-prepared. That seems like a pre-prepared statement. Pete, anyone asks you about this, you commit it to memory, and you say how you felt.
That's good. You must have a good relationship with the people in your office.
So at 7:30, you get home, and I just want to couch this for you guys to know. No, there's 13 episodes in Punisher Season 2. They're all like about an actual hour long. Some are a little longer, some are a little shorter, but it comes out to about 13 hours.
Right.
So started watching at 7:30. How many hours, how many episodes did you watch in a row?
All of them.
Whoa, wait a second.
Good Lord.
So that's the whole night.
Yeah, that's the whole night. That's
into
13
the next
hours.
Day.
So you were up until 8:30-ish?
Yeah, I want to say it was 9
a.m. on Saturday. Because you took a break to
I took breaks
to pee your pants, to pee in the bathroom.
Well,
yeah,
here's the thing what you explained to me earlier.
Yeah, I watch it on my laptop, so I take the laptop into the bathroom or into the kitchen.
No bathroom breaks.
So I can watch and still eat or watch it.
For midnight dinner. for overnight snack time.
So was there a point that you were like, I don't know, I'm falling asleep, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, there was a point where I thought like maybe I should stop and get some sleep, and then, you know, but then I was like, no. I gotta see how this
is. It's like you're the Punisher for seeing the Punisher. Your quest would never end.
And did you have plans and cancel plans Friday night?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
boy.
I kept them clear. I
kept
that's
my a yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like a cancel.
Yeah. Okay,
so
I'm trying to think about if
I think you should say.
Friends of mine listen to this podcast.
So that's crazy.
They're going to know what happened.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably it. It was like 9:30 in the morning. You'd watch 13 hours of television. You were conked out. You went right to sleep, right?
No.
What'd you do next?
I went back for more.
But wait, what did you do before
that? What
do
you mean by more? I think you mean less.
Well, I also went back and watched.
No. Hold on. You're leaving two details out that are pretty important. What did you do immediately after watching the first season of The Punisher?
Oh, yeah. I ran outside and screamed, I love The Punisher. And then went to the bodega and got some Mountain Dew and came back.
Just Mountain Dew? No other sundries? No solid
just
food?
Just Mountain Dew.
What a healthy choice to add on to the other healthy choices you'd make.
Yeah.
So at this point,
he certainly was doing it country cool.
You screamed that at how early in the morning?
Around 8 in the morning.
Nobody came out and beat you?
Yeah, it's Bed-Stuy.
I don't know, Punisher, shut up. Shut up.
More of a Spider-Man fan here. Thanks.
Pete lives in a Punisher retirement community where there like a lot of people were running out being like, I love the Punisher.
A bunch of old ladies. Bunch of older ladies and just like Punisher like outfits. Like they're wearing black dresses with just Punisher skull aprons.
This is going to be exciting. All right, so, be amazing.
Oh, yikes. Jesus
Christ, Pete. So 9:30 in the morning, you haven't slept. You're powered by yelling the Punisher's name at Mountain Dew. Surely you go to sleep after this, right?
No.
Okay, what did you do next?
I went back, watched it all again.
The same season two you watched.
Wait, season two? Or
well, I watched the highlights. I went and watched the highlights first, and then I went back.
So when a normal person says highlights, they're usually referring to like went back,
a trailer.
Their favorite.
There is
scene.
A highlights like the previously on.
There's a previously, yeah. Like right, a season right. one recap.
When,
exactly.
Yeah, when you say highlights, what are you referring to, Pete?
My favorite episodes.
Right.
Episodes.
So so how many episodes did you watch?
So it's episode one of the first season. Episode three.
So you're not just talking about highlights of season two.
Yeah,
you watched a full episode.
The full
of season.
Highlights of all of the Punisher.
That's not a highlight. That's not a highlight.
Yeah, it's like
calling calling a movie a trailer. You watch the whole thing.
A highlight is going on YouTube and finding a scene you like.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the hallway fight scene in Daredevil. I watched that. I'm like, man, they're so good. I've watched the ones from all three. I will not go back and watch an entire episode of the show to get to that, but you watched instead, not just highlights, but you watched entire chunks of the chapters and
story. Yeah, that had my favorite parts in it.
So after you had seen 13 hours of television, you watched how many episodes of season one?
Three of season one, and then...
Four, right? The first three and the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then, so four more hours.
And then I watched the Daredevil Punisher team ups.
Now hold on. I want to specify this part as well, because when he says the Daredevil Punisher's team ups, he's not talking about the episode of Daredevil where they're on the rooftop together. He's talking about the first half of Daredevil,
like six episodes, because there's four, and then he comes back at the end.
Yeah,
you watch all of those.
So seven of those episodes. Convinced that you know, this was it for. We're not going to get Punisher season three. So after I had my moment of euphoria outside and got my Mountain Dew, I was like, I need to get all my favorites before it gets taken
before
away from
Netflix
me.
Repossesses the streaming episodes.
They take them back. They take them out of your brain. I mean, I was going to save this for later and call this and say that this is an intervention, but honestly, I feel bad we didn't have this sooner. Because
Can I interrupt? He's not done.
Oh, okay. So you haven't slept since 6:50 the day before.
I took like some in between stuff. Like, so after I went back and watched my highlights, I took a 40-minute nap.
Do you still have Mountain Dew at this point?
It's not even a full episode.
How much Mountain Dew did you buy? You bought one bottle of Mountain Dew, and this was just, what is going? What?
A couple liters.
A couple of liters.
A couple liters.
See, listen. This is the trial of Peter
Page. I'm worried about my Mountain Dew intake. I'm a little worried about it.
I also want to mention when you say after the highlights, that's still another 11 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping track of time at this point.
I'm going to sell this idea to the AMC network as a sort of Breaking Bad spinoff called Breaking Sad.
So just to finish this up, though, you watched all the second season. You watched four additional episodes of Punisher season one, seven episodes of Daredevil.
Right.
And then what did you do after that, after your 40-minute catnap?
Went back and watched all season two again.
The whole thing again.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Because you guys would say some bullshit, and I want to make sure that it was what I really thought it was, you know? Because the first time you're watching, it's just the high of like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, no.
I just realized something. This just came back to me. Sunday night, we got on Skype and we taped a podcast.
Right. Yeah.
And Pete was pretty pissed off that we were taping because he was like, I had to cancel date for this. Now, I have two questions for you. Was your date watching The Punisher or was it a real date?
It was an actual date.
So after not sleeping for 3 days and watching 37 hours of television, you were going to go out on a date?
I was.
Probably
not a good idea.
Hey, Maxine.
Now that we're talking.
Hey, Maxine, don't mind me. I just haven't slept since I've been born. Also, are you aware of the Ballad of Frank Castle? Well,
I should also say he's on a Punisher dating site where that's sort of a standard.
I wish that was a thing.
Yeah,
no, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
It is Punisher retirement community. Website. And I actually have a question for Langston.
Yeah.
And you're telling me I look fucking tired.
But Pete just wears he has a beard, so he covers up all the, like...
My fucking chin looks tired?
Your chiseled chin. Listen, I'm just saying that when you were walking around, looking aimlessly at the ground, and I said, that man looks like he's been raising some kids.
What did you think of Punisher season 2?
I really, really liked it. I felt like it was much more, for me, a superhero show. I mean, as much as the Punisher can be being a vigilante, it still had all of the things that I liked about the idea of the Punisher of, like, he can't walk away from somebody in need. He's always looking to try to do the right thing, even though he doesn't. I also like the fact that the story was not just about him, but it's really about he is the pebble in the pond, and it's like all the rules that go out that influence. It was crazy. There were some beautifully shot moments of like context for characters. There are moments where John Bernthal does things you're like, oh, you just feel so bad. You just feel very, very bad for him. And you feel like the isolation that he has, and you feel like when he meets the characters in the show, that he does have a support system that is so desperately on his side, despite himself, despite what he does. But he is just this guy that you can't help but root for. And I think that's like a testament to John Bernthal, because like, you don't at any point in the show not want him to A, be okay, and like sleep for like 24 hours. As you would want someone to do.
Yeah.
It's
crazy that the Punisher sleeps more than you. That's crazy.
It's true.
I want you to write this down and post it as a, like a challenge. I like how people are like, I ran a super marathon and here's how. I want you to post this and be like, I did this.
No, I don't recommend that.
No, of course not. Of course not. Your body would start to fail.
Yeah.
You'd go insane at points, I'm sure. Like, but I feel like that's a challenge. Because I want to know how many liters of Mountain Dew. Give me the secrets. Don't. How much movement, how much atrophy came over your body and legs, seriously. Mind.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't go outside for like 3 days either.
Yeah, basically.
I guess it was cold.
It was cold.
Sure.
It was a good...
And I'm sure you threw in a couple of screenings of Tommy Boy in there just to cleanse the palate, right?
It wasn't time. There wasn't time.
Langston, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Oh, listen, Marvel.com and on Marvel's YouTube channel, you can catch Earth's Mightiest Show. Airs on Thursdays. And
What's great about the show is not only are you're giving people information about all the great stuff that Marvel's putting out, but also you and Lorraine have a great time.
We do.
It really is like... cool, you're back and forth. It's nice to see two people who I know are not only funny comedians but also friends get to work together and have fun.
It's a good time. We get to nerd out with one another. We get to talk about the things that both of us, Lorraine and myself, that we love about Marvel, like all the weird stuff. Like I have a real, real obsession with just the amount of characters that don't wear pants.
Yeah.
Like, just don't. Like, the thing, I think maybe, the Fantastic Four's origin, we recently did a segment we called Master Comics Theater that we did with the incredible Brian Posehn, where we read through the Fantastic Four's origin like a radio play. And there are some things that I think we are all forgetting. The idea that Susan Storm bankrolls Reed's failed mission, and when they're in the car, she goes, I'm going too. And then Johnny goes, yeah. Me too. And then Ben. So the only two people that should be on that ship are Ben Grimm and Reed Richards. And the other two, he's like, well, hey, you're my fiance. Where my fiance goes, I go. And he's like, well, I'm not sitting here myself. I'm going where my sis goes. And then Reed ruins their lives. And then Ben tries to fight Reed.
He improves their lives in a lot of ways.
I mean, Ben Grimm is objectively now a rock monster.
That's what I'm saying. But he was meant to be there.
Wow. You saying he was always a rock monster on the inside?
He was a thing.
Ooh.
That was a shovel.
Did you read the most recent or second most recent issue of Fantastic Four with the wedding issue?
Oh,
my
God.
There's this great story with Sue and Ben talking about this very thing where she regrets so hard saying, because she looked at him and was like, you're a thing. And he's like, jeez, we almost dated. And so that's what I'm talking
about.
It's
amazing.
Yeah.
Also, Reed calls him. Everyone says, hey, Johnny starts off being like, hey, we're picking names. I'm going to call myself the Human Torch. Amen. And Susan's like, well, I'm the Invisible Girl. What about you, Ben? And then he's like, well, you know, Susan called me a thing. I'm a thing. And then Reed goes, great. I'm Mr. Fantastic. And everyone goes, wait, what? And he goes, no. We all pick names. Yeah. We all picked our names. Good job, Johnny and Sue. Ben, sorry for you, my friend.
Yeah.
These are our names. No changing. I'm Mr. Fantastic.
That's always be the last hand in guy.
It's one of my new favorite comic panels of all time. And the hubris. He just goes, he waits.
That's
he waits.
Really funny.
And he's probably doing it from across the field, too.
Yeah. Also, that has nothing to do with his powers. Everybody else is like, kind of based on his powers. His aren't fantastic.
You're
They're
not
stretch.
A fantastic husband.
You'd be like Mr.
Time.
Stretchy.
Yeah, Mr. Stretchy.
He used to be like busy stretchy man.
The scientist. Just call yourself the scientist. Stretchy scientist. If they did that, I would love a panel. You're stretchy scientist. No, I'm not. Nah, stretchy scientist. Yeah. Stretchy scientist. And they write it down the ledger, and it's like, they announce on the news, and he's like, well, thank you, Susan. I can't go outside anymore. Kids make fun of me now. It's fine. But no. Eris Midas Show on Marvel.com, Marvel's YouTube channel. We have a lot of fun talking about fun, goofy stuff like this about the Marvel Universe.
All right. Cool. Very cool. Let's move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
The stack.
And to the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with Justice League Dark, number 7 from DC Comics. So you guys want to talk about this one?
Yeah.
So this is fun dealing with, it was also Boothman Prime's pick as well as mine.
Yeah.
But this is fun. We get to have kind of it's a different take on the old Man-Bat, and it's hilarious.
It's a classic horror story.
Yeah,
right. I don't know if it's necessarily hilarious or fun. So the idea of the book is there's this group of extra-dimensional beings called the Other Kind who are breaking into the DC Universe and eating up all the magic in the world and destroying every magic thing they can find. And we're meeting several members of the Other Kind. We've already met a guy called the Upside Down Man. Very upsetting to look
scary.
At.
Yes.
And now we meet a couple of others. This issue in Short Tales that's very Lovecraft inspired, I'd say, as Man-Bat is trying to research them and find out more of them and look over their records. But the records seem to be changing as they're going, and he doesn't understand why. I also thought this issue was great.
So good. I feel like James Tynan does such a great job with like using the genre, using the medium, and telling his story, adding to the it's not just an homage. He's actually adding to him and doing a creative story, using all these characters that are like sort of like Wonder Woman is in here, and it makes sense. All these characters make sense here, even though they're from all different parts of the DC universe. It's just a great comic, and the Other Kind are legit scary.
Yeah,
there's just a dude who's like ocean full of organs.
The soup.
That sounds
miserable.
Stupid. Like if someone was like, "Yeah, there's this great villain I have called the Soup," I'm like, "Okay, cool. You probably stayed up for 3 days straight. You don't make any sense." But in this, it ends up being good and scary.
It's a person. It's a humanoid shape, just full of organs and spines and jawbones, and it's just like, yeah, that's a soup, and it
human
doesn't
soup.
Say anything. Which I love. I love when someone writes a word bubble full of ellipses points, like the objective silence that they convey, like this thing, not that it doesn't talk, it's objectively not making any sound, like there's nothing coming out of it. And I think it's really like there's a very awful panel of the soup squeezing this head, and it's like splorch. Great.
It's great, and I love soup, so it was extra scary for me.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
No,
are you off soup?
No, I eat soup almost every day.
Oh, geez.
Let's say soup, expensive.
Yeah.
It is.
That's the real evil of soup is how pricey it is.
Yeah, it gets you every time. So this has truly resonated with me.
Wow. let's see about our next issue. Marvel Comics Presents number 1 from, appropriately, Marvel Comics. Let's talk about this one.
Thank you. I love this comic. I love this comic back in the day. So it's three different stories, two of which are ongoing. The first featuring Wolverine throughout Marvel history. So it's Wolverine in World War II, Namor in World War II, and then Captain America is a standalone story. And I just love anthology series and getting into it. Feels like classic comics, so we don't really get these stories anymore. Wolverine has to fight a demon once a year, which is super fun. Namor is dealing with some pretty extreme World War II ramifications, and the Cap is just helping a girl become a daredevil.
Yeah, that was cool. I really like that because it's like you're not sure what to think of this girl in the beginning. She seems a little like over the top, but then like Cap realizes that like, yeah, she wants to be a daredevil, but she's also like planned this really well and has been very smart about it.
She calculated the angles.
Yeah, and so Cap's like, yeah, let's do it. And even though her mom's a little worried about her, I thought it was really cool encouragement to, you know.
When I was a kid, I'm from way upstate New York.
Does that way I have a t-shirt on that says upstate?
T-shirt that says upstate. It's a coincidence
nice,
that I'm talking about
nice
this.
Plug. The way
it's a plug. We're really plugging a region here. check out Upstate. Every state has an Upstate, so check out yours.
Yeah.
Where I grew up, there's no famous people. There are no famous people around. But Robbie Knievel, who was Evel Knievel's son, came one day and jumped like 10 cars at a local car dealership.
Oh wow!
And we went, and it was like it was my first real brush with fame.
Wow.
Ooh.
Can you really draw a direct line from that to being here on stage tonight?
Exactly. It's what really inspired me to want to become on a podcaster. Doing podcasts with
jumping verbal cars.
Exactly.
Wow.
Look at us. We're doing, we just landed one.
That's great. I like these throwback books. I feel like they're flying under the radar a little bit. There's a bunch more that are coming out next week for Marvel as well. I don't know if you have any additional information about
that. I mean, I think there's a couple of really cool like books coming out. I know there's this kind of like nostalgia for like yesteryears. I know Spider-Man is going to be having that book coming out soon, where it takes place as if he was born in the 1960s, if he did come out then, and living through what Peter Parker would have lived through in real time if he did like Vietnam and like all that stuff. So I really, really like this story, especially because there are three very disparate characters like Namor, Captain America, and Wolverine that make them feel more like old school, like newspaper kind of superheroes, right? That you're not really bogged down in the continuity of how these characters are connected, but they all are heroes in the same universe. They're all on the same side at the end of the day, even though they might have differing ideologies, and these three certainly do, they would all still be on the same side. And you, even though the stories aren't together, these are three characters you could see sharing the same like kind of Venn diagram. And like you said, like showing Captain America helping this like little girl to become a daredevil just shows one aspect of his character that you don't get to see all the time. It's like the fact that he does believe, like that spirit of America, that idea of like he does believe in every single person he meets, and the fact that Wolverine has to deal with some things that just make no sense. I imagine every day is the once a year that something has to happen to Wolverine. Every day is like, oh, what day is today? Oh, today's the day where a worm comes out of the ground, swallows me. I have to live in that for 3 days. And then when I come out, I face the ghost of Jean Grey, and she tells me, I never loved you. And I know she's right.
Oh, wow.
I don't like
that. Wow. Like,
I have an issue.
So your team, Cyclops.
Wow.
If a man tried to ruin my marriage since I met him, I don't understand why the small, hairy man who's tried to ruin my marriage, everyone likes him.
Hey, and he so wasn't like, trying to ruin his marriage, man. Jean Grey was throwing it his way.
You know what? It takes two to tango. And you know who it wasn't? Cyclops.
Cyclops needs to talk to his lady then.
Excuse me? No. Cyclops is carrying on Xavier's dream. He says, hey, Professor Xavier, I will be the guy that flies. I'll be
until he kills Xavier.
He does, because Xavier did a lot of bad stuff. That doesn't change the fact that he was married. And then a short, hairy Canadian man was like, hey, I like the way that your wife looks. And then he was like, no, surely, Jean, you will not get this. Jean, where are you going? And then all of a sudden, so they're both to blame. I blame Jean.
Hey, but honestly, though, like the whole Cyclops-Wolverine love triangle, Jean Grey love triangle, Wolverine never acted on it. He was so like nervous and shy about it. And Cyclops, I feel like
He hit on her. He hit on
barely.
Jean Grey.
Only that, like, occasionally when they would be trapped in a place where they were going to die.
That's too much when you're married. Occasionally is too much when you're married.
When you're trapped in a weird place and you're like, we're going to die here, it's like, okay, I'll flirt.
What?
I'm putting myself, you know, in the Wolverine.
And Pete trapped in a mine shaft, just collapsed. You're going to look at Pete and go, you know what?
Yeah, let's.
What's up? Yo,
here's the thing. We're Jedi married. Let's not forget that. So that's the real issue. No, I'm talking. I feel like that love triangle has been an inflated part of the history.
True.
When it's something that no one ever really acted on, and you only ever see Wolverine with Jean in like the Age of Apocalypse dimension
or some dream sequence.
Cyclops, I feel like, has never been really threatened by the Wolverine Jean Grey romance.
Really? You don't think so?
Name a time.
Schism.
Yeah, schism.
My favorite moment of all time when they're arguing, back and forth, and it's just this, there's one quiet panel, and then Cyclops says, you know, she never really loved you, right? She was always afraid of you. And I go, that's what it's all about.
Exactly. He's confident. Argument. He knows.
Then Wolverine says, a two-page splash of kicking the shit out of
him. If she was here now, whose side do you think she'd be on? And then Cyclops is like, you son of a bitch. It's like, it's the biggest bro fight. Like, what did you say, dude? Did you say, they're both like drunk. It's like, you're saying Jean didn't love me, dude? Are you saying Jean? Hey, screw you, dude. Screw you and your healing factor.
But I got to also say, like, you're like, that was the real love triangle.
I love
she
it.
Was dead. bed at that time. Like, there's no triangle.
Oh, that's the ultimate love triangle.
Yeah. And she never
with
really
a dead
leaves.
Lady?
Yeah, definitely. This is a conversation I want you guys to have at my funeral.
Can we move on?
Yes, sure.
Okay, Supergirl number 26 from DC Comics. You guys want to chat about this one?
Wow, okay. Yeah, so this is... I really love the art on this. Like, the way Supergirl is drawn is fantastic.
Kevin McGuire.
Yeah, this is kind of a cool Supergirl kind of in different settings. I haven't read Supergirl comic in a while, so I read this one and I was really happy with it.
It's written by Mark Andreyko, who's a great comic writer who I just doesn't work enough. I feel like he's not doing as much as I want him to be doing. And this comic feels like a classic, like Supergirl. She's in space. Feels like a Legion comic from the 90s, or Legionnaires, where like there's all these like alien villains. You don't really know exactly too much about them, but you realize what's happening. It's written really well from her perspective. There's some jokes in here. It's a great comic.
Yeah, if you're looking for a really good Mark Andreyko book, pick up Manhunter. His run on that was excellent. It's pretty short. It's still in trade. One of my favorite comic books I've ever read.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Nice.
Then I'm going to come out to you guys. Raise your hands. I see a bunch of hands already up. Okay, this hand right here. What's your name? What's your question?
All right, Brandon Medina, and I want to keep this quick. My endgame theory, because Doctor Strange gave up the Time Stone, and he like he said he calculated, he meditated, and it's like 14 million whatever chances, and there's only one out of those that we could win. He gives up the Time Stone. Stark says, "Why'd you do that?" He says, "We're in the endgame." I think he realizes to defeat Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet, you have to fight him on multiple fronts, life and the afterlife, the dead heroes, in the realm where Red Skull as Death is, are fighting him there.
They're all dead. They all get to fight him.
And so Ms. Marvel with, Strange knows what's going on, leadership strategy of Captain America and Iron Man, fight in life. Nick Fury's strategy leads the Guardians and the Dead Avengers and Spider-Man in death. Okay.
Wow.
Nice. I can say that that is a theory that you have.
Yes, that's wow. Thank you for confirming the theory, but we should say this question asker is Kevin Feige. he comes to our show a ton.
It's just a test.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that you want your funeral to be made into a podcast.
Yes.
Why hasn't there been a podcast already of Pete binge watching The Punisher, or binge reading for that matter? How is that not happening?
Pete's Punisher point. Podcast?
Pete read. You want to hear Pete reading?
Yeah. That's... Or I'm just surprised that you didn't spend all weekend sending increasingly tired videos to at John Bernthal, being like, "Hey, man.
I love you.
I'm 20 hours in, man. Really punishing myself now, man. Just like you wanted, man. You asked me to, man.
I love Thomas Jane. I'm sorry that I'm sending this to you, John.
Look at my pile of dirty laundry, man. It's all over, man."
The funny thing is, 8 hours in, John Bernthal is in those videos. And he's like, "I just came by to see my friend Pete.
My
friend Pete's hanging out. He's watching my show."
I have an honest question for you.
Madonna.
This is not answering your question at all. And I mean this seriously. Who do you think is a bigger Punisher fan, you or John Bernthal?
Wow.
Because I think it might be John Bernthal.
Yeah. I mean, the way he talks about getting to play the Punisher and what an honor it is. I mean,
how many times do you think he watched it this weekend?
I don't know.
How much how many liters of Mountain Dew did he buy?
He lived it, man. I'm going to give it to John. I'd say he's bigger.
Wow, that's very big of you. But I don't think so.
What was the question, though?
Why haven't you done a Punisher podcast?
Oh.
Because it would be incomprehensible.
Yeah, it would be totally insane. You can't leave me alone
for too
long.
How could you get guests? It's like, is the Punisher a great character or the best character?
Pete's Punisher Podnik. The Podnik basket.
Yeah. Pete's Punisher Potluck?
There you go. Podluck.
What would the Punisher eat?
Now, his question brings something up for me. Like, we know what he wants at his funeral. I want to know what you guys want at your funeral.
A wrestling match? I want a wrestling card book with all my friends on it. They have no idea they're going to wrestle on the show, but it's like, get in. They have an hour-long training session. They go, Lanks wants you to wrestle at his fucking funeral. Get in.
Wow. What a nightmare.
Are you?
It is a nightmare.
Are you going to die young? Because if you don't, that's going to be
It's even funnier.
Awful.
They're all like 60 or they're like 50 people. It's like, he wants to do what? You signed it. I mean, I'll make him sign a contract. Or just a very nice, nice funeral where they play wrestling themes whenever anyone comes up to speak.
Oh, wow. You get like entrance music.
And it's like, Langston wanted you to make this thing. And I picked out the music before for them. So I get
so you
to
have
get
to know you're dying so you can plan this all
out. Oh, I know who's going to speak in my eulogy.
There's a thing called a will that you should do. And let me be honest, Pete. We all know everyone's dying. You're going to, like, it's not like you're going to be like, I don't need this shit. I'm going to live forever.
It's going to be his will. Pete's will is going to be like a text, a really long text to someone. And it's like, notarize this. Your phone? Yes.
Yeah.
Notarize this, please. Hey, man, when I go, watch The Punisher season 2 straight through.
Yeah.
Then tell everybody to go.
Let's get the next question. You right over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Kier, and in terms of Team X-Men's, I'm always Team Kurt or Team Kitty, because they have no relationship and they get shit done.
Wow, all right.
But my question is to Langston. First of all, love your show, or Smitty's show.
Thank you.
Watch every Thursday.
Nice. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem. And like, I've noticed like Marvel.com has been making so many content with, you know, like Marvel 101 or TLDR or all the podcasts that you guys have. Was there ever a time you were like, you know what, I got an idea for a cool thing we can put on Marvel.com? And like, if you have, like, what's the process or what?
We want to do a real, because I love debating stuff, as Pete knows. So I really want to do a Marvel debate club. Want to get on some, you know, Team Cap, Team Iron Man. I really love, there are certain nerd arguments that we have, but there are certain really like deep cut nerd arguments, like who is the best cosmic character, you know, did Star-Lord ruin everything for everyone, you know, like so there was that Marvel debate show. I have another show we want to test. I want to test out certain Marvel like tropes in real life, like Captain America's shield. Can you throw it? Can it block anything? You know,
yeah,
like that kind of stuff. Like, you know, more like, you know, things you see in comic books that people do all the time, like the Hulk, like Bart bursting through a wall. Like, is it feasible to jump through a wall and then say out loud, you know, it's clobbering time? Like, what is it like, you know, to cover somebody in rocks and then make a rock suit? Like, I want to do weird stuff like that. But the process,
so sort of like Marvel Mythbusters.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, like, let's not stretch someone to see how far they can go. But it's like fun stuff like that. Like, if we could get a hammer, like, could you make a hammer that only one person could lift? Like that, like weird stuff like that. We don't have the budget for that. That's impossible.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
It is very expensive. But I keep telling my boss, and she's like, oh, all right. And I think I the process is mainly like you have an idea, and I work with the new media department, and it's like, we come in, we have an idea, and there's so many great shows like Marvel Becoming with like cosplayers stuff like that. Like it mainly has to do with whatever what the fandom wants, whatever fans like to do. Fans like to talk about comics and know what's going on. So we have our Smitty show. Fans like to cosplay, so we have Marvel Becoming. There's a lot of women that are in comics, creative and reading and illustrating and all that stuff. So we have Marvel Voices. We have all these different shows that each cater to a certain part of the fandom. And I know there's a part of the fandom that's like, I don't think Captain America's shield can ricochet off of three things. It's like, well, I'd like to try that. We're going to see if we can ricochet this shield that is not made for this off of that, and then hilarity will hopefully ensue, or someone gets injured, which is also hilarious. But
it's a great pitch.
Right? But yeah, but thank you for watching the show. Yeah, but hopefully I want to do the Marvel debate really, really badly. Yeah. Get like cool guys like these gentlemen on and like debate some fun. Get it started.
Yeah.
There we go. I see a hand right there. What's your name? What's your question, sir? Come on down.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm John. Hey, this John. Is for Pete. Oh yeah, you can totally do the Captain America shield thing.
Yeah.
Just hit up Stephen Colbert. He's got the shield.
He's got the shield.
He's got the money to make a replica.
So now you're supposed to just I break into Stephen Colbert's home, no, steal his shield, which is a whole different show entirely.
DM him.
Just I'll DM just oh, him. Just DM. Hey, Steve, Lex Belly versus my gym. Can I grab your shield? The cops will be at my home post haste.
Yeah,
but thank you though. I'll slide into Stephen Colbert's DMs.
That's it. And this question is for Pete. Are you ready to lose whatever's in the shrine?
Oh. This is a first attempt.
Yeah.
The first attempt.
Wait, really?
So we should explain what this is. Pete revealed on our last show of last year in 2018 that he had been hiding a secret quiz inside his pile of dirty laundry over here in the corner.
It's not dirty.
Okay. It's laundry, though. It's professionally cleaned laundry. And he's been doing that for 5 years, waiting for someone to randomly decide that they could ask that.
Right.
If you haven't heard the episode, it is stunning.
You made a trailer of it.
I made a trailer of it and posted at the end of an episode we did. And so now we have your first contestant.
Yeah. But he didn't say the right thing to unlock it. That's the thing.
Oh.
You said more of it closer than what he said.
How is anyone ever going to guess this, though? Because it's truly whatever.
It's trial and error.
Yeah, so just to be clear about the rules, there's a code phrase that unlocks it.
Right.
And then you take the quiz. Then you take a Punisher quiz. Yeah. And we've asked Pete about this behind the scenes. This is a real quiz, not one of those fake quizzes he does every show.
Yeah.
So it's actually hard. Can we give him another chance to try to unlock
it? Yeah, we'll give you another chance.
Okay, is there any way you could give a clue or a direction?
I mean,
he's given the clue.
I'm
going to listen back to this.
Oh, nice, okay. Nice.
I am the bigger Punisher fan.
Ooh,
that's
ballsy.
Pretty good.
It's ballsy. All right, so let's think about this. Wow. The problem is you're over.
Wait, Pete, why did you stand up?
You're overthinking it.
Yeah, Pete, what's going on, Pete?
Because
come on, Pete.
I'm not going to let this guy step to me.
I'm backing you up. I don't think he's going to step. I'm hyping you up. Come on, Pete.
Stop.
Oh, don't touch it. Okay,
don't touch.
You're
overthinking.
I just want to mention, I'm pretty sure there's old ham under there. We've already
No, there's no way there's old ham.
So just decide if you want to go for this based on that. Okay.
So he said, I'm a bigger Punisher fan than you.
Yeah.
That's
so
not it.
You're overthinking it. It's not like a phrase that, you know, it's just, you kind of just state what you want
to
do.
So to be clear, to help you guys, the phrase to unlock the Punisher quiz is not a phrase. Right. So figure it out from that, right?
This is good. This is like if Alex Trebek was like, all right, you're on Jeopardy.
And what that was
it? I don't
and
fucking
that was the
know
closest. And that was the closest yet. I mean, almost unlocked it. Almost unlocked it.
Wait, can I do it?
Challenge
I mean, right. If I get it, can
challenge
I
him right now.
Sure.
Well, fuck you, Pete.
No, people have said that.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what. We'll put a cap on it this particular time. We can take one more question.
Okay.
You guys listen to it at home. Think about it. It sounds like maybe everybody wants to do it now. We're going to go over
I think it's truly very easy.
Yeah.
It's like if you walk in a store and like, I'm hungry, I would like a sandwich. Let me just put that out there. That's just my reading of this.
Right. Except for the fact that Pete has held on to this for 5 years, which is the fucking crazy part. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
Okay, my name is Caesar, and my question is, since the big success of Aquaman.
No, the movie.
The movie. Would this hinder or maybe help the development of maybe a Namor movie?
Ooh.
It's been in talks for like since 2006.
Yeah.
Nothing's
yeah.
happened.
I mean, I think the fun thing about Aquaman is Aquaman can be fun. Namor is the Submariner is a very angry gentleman who just likes to try to steal Susan Storm. Like I'll never forget the image of him carrying her into the ocean and the other three Fantastic Four members going like, please don't do that. Like, and her being like, I don't want to go. And he's like, I'm taking her. And it's like, I think it's cool because like the underwater universe and like underwater worlds are so cool. I feel like for me personally, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like Atlantis, is like almost the equivalent of like a new cosmic universe. Because there'd be so much they'd have to do to like contextualize what's been happening on Earth, like when the Chitauri showed up, like what was Atlantis doing? Like when this was happening, what was Atlantis doing? When this was happening, what was Atlantis doing? I feel like the one of the pitfalls of like cinematic universes is that anytime you introduce a new wrinkle to it, you have to sometimes retroactively go like, well, where was this the entire time this is happening? Which is a question that if you start retroactively answering, then you're kind of like, I feel like sometimes you diminish those other properties when you go like, oh, so you're saying that was that the entire time instead of what I had imagined. So I think it'd be really cool. I think it's just one of those, it's a really huge character factor, but I would like to. I think he'd be really cool if he like was like in a World War II like flashback.
I feel like as soon as you see his ankle wings, he loses a lot of credibility.
Yeah,
as an underwater person, and as just a person.
I do think because to answer your question very specifically, I think because Aquaman was so successful, you can't really do a Namor movie straight up without it feeling derivative. But you could have him as a villain in another movie, or the like we were just saying, show up in a World War II scene or a flashback or something like that.
Yeah.
But everybody would look at it as like, oh, isn't that just Aquaman at this point?
Also, Namor's a douchebag. You can't have a whole movie about a douchebag. Like that would be like having a Cyclops movie. Nobody's going to see that fucking thing.
I don't know. So, they did two seasons of The Punisher.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy's not.
Watch your fucking mouth. The Punisher is not.
That guy's not the most fun.
He's an unbelievable character.
What are the differences between Namor and The Punisher, just personality-wise?
What are you talking about?
Tell me. I'm asking.
The Punisher. Namor doesn't do anything only for his own selfish gain. He's not a very good character.
Okay.
Where Punisher is killing for the good of others.
Wow.
Also, another big difference is you can't have a picnic underwater.
That's true.
You can.
I've had an awful lot of tea parties underwater.
The blanket would get wet.
Well, you have a.
That's where the phrase "wet blanket" actually comes from.
Did you say I've seen the snorks?
Yeah, snorks have plenty of picnics underwater.
Timeout. That one's the right. I've seen the snort like. The snorks? Like the cartoon snorks?
Tons of picnics
underwater.
Great show. But I love the snorks. Yeah. Especially, I actually stayed up all night and watched the snorks season two with John Bernthal narrating.
I love that. That was crazy when the snorks family gets killed and goes on a rampage.
Yeah.
With the snork. It's the first draft. The Punisher snork. There it is. The Punisher snork. I'll look at there.
All right. That's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to turn it over to Pete LePage for some trivia.
All right. This is
for some
to you,
trivia.
The lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars. You got to go before. We're going to give it to this guy.
Oh. Nice way to keep it equal.
But just trying to share the love, man. You know, I appreciate you being first-hand up guy, though. All right. This will be fun because I won't have to ask you afterwards. If you get it, you'll get to tell us. Today's trivia is just on comic book news.
Nice.
Listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours in the form of gift card, Midtown Comics gift card, because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Here we go. Marvel is doing variant covers starting in February, but what is this? What is the theme? Is it A, cats, B, mummies, or is it C, showgirls? So it's either A, cats, or B, mummies.
I'm going to go with cats.
Cats is correct.
Great choice.
Cats.
Is that the Broadway musical Cats?
No, it's just all the variant covers are going to be like... The superheroes are going to be cats.
Very excited.
You sound excited.
Spider cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Catisher.
All right, here we go. Question number two.
Name meow.
Good. That's good.
Oh, boy. Here Name we go. Meow.
That is just Thor cat.
Arrow is having a very special 150th episode on February 4th with guest star blank. Is it A?
I'm sorry, we're going to just have to give you the gift card. We've ran out of time.
What are you talking about?
No, we're out of time for trivia. Could you just give
up
the gift
slack
card?
Slack bot and sit your ass down.
We don't have any time. We're out of time.
Well,
I'm sorry. Do you want to skip to the next question to get time? You got that one correct.
Yeah, I'll skip to the next one.
All right, thank you.
So is it A, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, B, Kelsey Grammer, or is it C, Face Off? So it's either A, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, or B, Kelsey Grammer.
I'll go with Kelsey Grammer.
That's right. I can't wait. 150th episode of a show. Kelsey Grammer's going
to
be on.
Sorry. I know we're not supposed to talk about Arrow. Their special guest star for the 150th episode of Arrow is Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
Of Cheers and Frasier.
Yeah.
Maybe I hear the
a beast in the X-Men movie.
Yeah.
That's who they got?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he loves the show.
Great. You also love the show. Are you going to be on the 150th episode?
I would love to.
Yeah, it's not. Okay.
I mean, when you want to really ring the bell, you call up Frasier. And you want to get it, bring in the viewers. Because you know who loves Frasier? Young people.
Yeah. I love Frasier.
Yeah, no. You're, as we decided earlier, you're old. You both okay.
You here we go. Too. Last question. Xena Princess Warrior is getting a new ongoing series starting in April, but by what comic distributor?
Sorry, I can't let this stand. Warrior Princess.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Yep, no problem.
Oh, I said it wrong. Apologize, everybody. Is it A, Dynamite, B, Dark Horse, or is it C, P.S. I Love You? So it's either A, Dynamite, or it's B, Dark Horse.
I'll go with Dynamite.
All right.
Nice.
And you know the connection between P.S. I Love You, Face Off, and Showgirls.
Does anyone know it? I mean, is it Nicolas Cage?
Nope. It unlocks a quiz.
No, I'm going through the stars of them, and like the
yeah,
the
you're
big
the guy that usually knows this.
Matching up.
Yeah, they aren't, are they? I stumped you finally.
Wait,
haven't
wait, no, no, wait, wait.
Yeah!
Oh, slam!
Because I went through her, but
Gina Gershon.
Gina Gershon.
Oh, that's right. She's the girlfriend in Face Off.
Yeah, that's right. She's the girlfriend in Face Off.
Pete, how many quizzes are in this show?
Hey, it's quizzes on quizzes on quizzes.
Quizmaster over here.
All right, guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because, as Pete mentioned, they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yep.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to Batman number 63 as well as Immortal Hulk number 12.
Oh, great book. Very excited for that, too.
Yes. How about you, Justin?
I'm looking forward to Uncanny X-Men Annual number 1, The Return of Cyclops. Oh, in your face, everybody.
What a shitty comic. Don't buy it.
He's coming back to ruin your day.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
That is the actual tagline of the comic. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Ooh. Number 1 is coming out from Boom Studios. We actually do a regular Wednesday morning podcast. Goes up at 9 a.m. with a bunch of reviews. We are going to review the Uncanny X-Men Annual as well as Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 1. So check that out there. It's a good entry point for new readers. Very excited to read more of that. Langston.
I got a shout out. Two comics I think everyone's going to really dig. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Two is taking Spider-Man back to the neighborhood. It's just that. It's him dealing with being in a neighborhood. And also Guardians of the Galaxy number 1 by Donny Cates. Listen. I luckily got a chance to check this out. Oh my goodness. It's Donny Cates reading what happens when a bunch of people get together to see Thanos' last will and testament. What? that's the coolest thing in the world. It's just it's a really cool comic, and it brings together all these cosmic heroes, and it really makes you it's a really cool book, and I'm excited for everyone to see it.
He doesn't do a podcast, does he?
Who?
He doesn't do a podcast at his funeral, does he?
Who?
Thanos.
Actually,
You know what? If you read it,
Fuck!
Listen, you're not. Yes, there's a little bit of podcastiness to it.
Thanos eats my lunch once again.
That's also the tagline of that comic.
Yeah.
A couple of things to plug before we go. Other than this show, the review show we mentioned, we do a couple of other podcasts. We do a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that goes up every Wednesday after that show. Also, we have a new Deadly Class podcast called Deadly Cast that also goes up after that show and is in its own dedicated podcast feed. What other ones do we have going on? We have our Sabrina podcast that's coming back in April. And our American Gods podcast.
Yeah,
did you see that new trailer?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
should be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, we should
also,
watch
this
it.
Show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. If you'd like to support it, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a couple of fun bonuses for you guys. Mm. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Dear God, get some sleep, Pete.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Langston for being on the show.
Yeah.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks good night, guys. Up, thank you.
We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Sit on crappy couches and they